We read tonight John chapter 16. John 16, if you recall, we read John 15 Sunday morning in connection with Lord's Day 7. And now tonight, let's read John 16. The text that we will consider is verse 7. The word of God at John 16, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. And now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of his disciples among themselves, What is this that he saith unto us? A little while, and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father? They said therefore, What is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye loved me, and hath believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We will read that far. As I said, the text is verse 7, John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever wished that you were one of those people that happened to live on the earth at the same time as the Lord Jesus Christ? Even more, have you ever wished that you were one of those who were numbered among His company, so that the Lord Jesus Christ walked with you? The Lord Jesus Christ taught you, preached to you. In your difficult times, Christ would comfort you and care for you. That may even lead you to say that it was better, or it would have been better, had I lived then with Jesus Christ on this earth than living now, some 2,000 years later. It may seem difficult to argue against that mentality. How could you say that's not the truth? But it's exactly that notion that the Lord Jesus Christ refutes in the text that we have before us tonight. Beloved, it was a good thing that Jesus Christ left this earth. There is a great advantage in the fact that Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. That's what He teaches the disciples in this text. The great profit of Christ's ascension. And that's what He teaches us tonight as we celebrate this event in the life of Jesus Christ. For Ascension Day, there are a slew of passages that we could have chosen that would be appropriate to celebrate this event in Christ's life. We could have gone to the Old Testament and looked at one of the Psalms that pointed ahead to Christ's ascension. We could have went to the Old Testament and looked at some of the actions, for example, of the high priest that typified in a beautiful way this event that we celebrate tonight. We could have gone to the New Testament and looked at the history of Christ's ascension, especially as it's found in Acts. We'll go there tonight. We have to for a little while, but that could have been our main focus. We could have gone to Paul's epistles, where many different times he lays before us the great blessing of Christ's ascension, the fact that He is Lord, that He's King, that He's our intercessor, that He's our advocate as the one who ascended into heaven. Just right there from what I just said, you see the great significance as it's laid out in the Bible of this event in Christ's life. Those would have been more than adequate, would have been great. But tonight we look at something a little bit different. We look at the words of Jesus Himself. Jesus Himself, the night before He would die on the cross, and it's striking that in a certain sense, Jesus looks past the two great, most immediate events in His life, His death and His resurrection. And He points the disciples' eyes and souls to this event that we celebrate tonight. He points them to His ascension into heaven. And He says to them, and He says to us tonight, there is a great profit, a great blessing in my ascension into heaven. That's what we'll see tonight. The great profit of Christ's ascension. When Jesus speaks the words of this text, He's in the upper room the night before His crucifixion, the upper room where they celebrated the last Passover, which was really the institution of the Lord's Supper, what we still celebrate today. What we have in these beautiful chapters, we read chapter 15 Sunday morning, we read chapter 16 today, and possibly we'll read 17 on Sunday, I'm not sure yet. What we have in these chapters are a beautiful section in which Jesus teaches His disciples. Really what we have here is the last thorough extended instruction of Jesus to His disciples. And the disciples that night represented the entire church of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus instructing us tonight. The context surrounding the words of the text are this. Jesus is explaining to the disciples the opposition and the persecution that the unbelieving world will inflict upon the church. Jesus says to the disciples, that unbelieving world hated me, hates me. That unbelieving world hates my Father, the one who sent me. And because you, my disciples, belong to me, because I am your Savior, because I will die for you the very next day, because you associate yourself with me and will preach my gospel, that same unbelieving world will hate and will afflict and will persecute you. But He says that in light of what will take place. All of that's going to happen, and I am not going to be with you. I must leave. I must depart. I must go back to the one that sent me. And this is what will take place for you in your life after that is the case. Jesus told them these things in order that when they took place, they would not be shocked, terrified, and not know what to do. It's interesting. Jesus never thoroughly instructed His disciples about this opposition that they would face. We read that in the beginning of the chapter. Part of the reason for that was the fact that Jesus was always with them. Jesus was always with them on this earth, and all of the opposition and persecution in a special way was focused upon Him. That's evident from the events surrounding what's going on here. The persecution was not directed toward the disciples so much, but towards Jesus Himself. Very shortly after this, the army will come, arrest Jesus, and it will lead eventually to His death on the cross. And so Jesus never taught His disciples about this specifically. And furthermore, if there was opposition directed towards the disciples, Jesus was always there. He was always there to care for them and to comfort them and to be with them through those difficult times. But now Jesus says, I'm leaving and I must leave. And you can understand the reaction of the disciples. The verse previous to the text, sorrow hath filled their heart. And that's laid out in the rest of the chapter. The disciples hear this from Jesus, and sorrow fills their hearts, despair, grief. What's going on here? What are we going to do? This is Jesus, our Master, our Ruler, the one who cares for us and teaches us. Now you're telling us this is what we must face, and we must do it without our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Put yourself in the disciples' shoes, and you understand somewhat of the question with which we began the sermon. Wouldn't it have been something to have Jesus with us through those difficult times? Obviously, from the reaction of the disciples, they experienced the benefits of having Jesus with them. They knew of that. You can understand somewhat what they were going through. And you can understand the benefit, the blessing of having Him with you here on this earth through your difficulties and sorrows and troubles. But beloved, that's wrong. It's wrong to think in any way that we are losing out on something because we don't live at the same time as Jesus. And that's what Jesus makes clear to His disciples. He says to them, it's not bad that I must leave you. It's good. There's a profit in the fact that I am going to leave you and ascend into heaven. That's the first word, really. Verse 6, sorrow hath filled their hearts because of everything we just talked about. And then the beginning of verse 7, nevertheless, a strong word in the original. However, but, that's not the right reaction. This is what you must know. I tell you the truth, he says. It is expedient for you that I go away. We don't use that word expedient often in our everyday language. Expedient simply means profitable. Jesus is saying it is profitable. There is an advantage. It is good for you that I go away. Clearly, the reference in the text is to Jesus' ascension into heaven. He uses the language of the ascension. He says, it is good that I go away. And then again, for if I do not go away, then he says, but if I depart, going away, departing. It's a reference to, in a special way, the ascension. Not to His crucifixion and resurrection. He looks past those events in a certain sense to the ascension. Because really, He didn't go away and depart completely in His death and resurrection. He died, was put in the grave, and arose. And yes, it was different. He had a different body, a glorified body, but He was still among them. Many appearances in which He taught His people after He arose from the dead. He didn't really depart completely. He did depart in a special way when He ascended into heaven. That event in Christ's life, as we know, took place 40 days after His resurrection. We don't read much when it comes to the historical account of that event. There's only two brief explanations in the Gospels, I believe in Mark and Luke at the end of the Gospels. And the fuller account is found at the beginning of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 1. We didn't read that tonight, but it's worth reading a few verses from Acts chapter 1. The fullest explanation of the event of His ascension into heaven. He was with the disciples on the Mount of Olives, and on the Mount of Olives, He was giving really what was His parting instruction to His disciples. We read that in the beginning of Acts 1. And then Jesus, or rather, then we read this in verses 9 through 11. And when He had spoken these things, while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven. So there were the disciples on the Mount of Olives. And Jesus finished talking, ascends into heaven. A cloud takes Him and brings him into the place called heaven, the actual place where the dwelling of the souls of those who have passed. That was from the disciples' perspective here on this earth. Sometimes we can forget about the perspective from heaven, because there were those souls of all of the saints who have died. A glorious event in heaven when the Lord Jesus Christ took His place at God's right hand, was received by all of those saints into the glory of heaven. And Jesus says to His disciples in the text that we have tonight, "It is good for you that I go to heaven." The prophet, in his ascension, is the fact that from heaven He will send the Comforter. That's what he's saying in the text. The prophet, the benefit, the blessing is that if I go to heaven, if I leave and depart you, I will send the Comforter. You cannot have that prophet unless I do that. I must leave you in order to grant you that blessing of sending the Comforter. The Comforter is a reference to the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "I will send you the Comforter," that is, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that becomes the Spirit of Jesus Christ Himself. It's clear from the passage that the Comforter is the Spirit, a beautiful description of the Holy Spirit. He could have said, "I will leave you in order to send my Spirit." But that's not what He says. He says, "I will leave you so that I can send the Comforter." His great work is comforting the people of God. When would this take place? Pentecost. We're not going to go into detail about that tonight. That's not the purpose of the sermon. We'll do that in a week and a half, the Lord willing, next week Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, 10 days after this event that we are celebrating tonight. At Pentecost, in a special way, He sends forth the Spirit. But the point of the text that we must understand tonight is that that could not happen unless Jesus ascended to heaven. A glorious thing took place when Jesus ascended into heaven. Jesus was exalted. He was the one who was King, Lord over all. He took His place as the exalted King at God's right hand. Power over all, and power therefore to send forth His Spirit, to send forth the Comforter. The point of the text is that that could not happen unless Jesus ascended to heaven. And that's the prophet, the coming of this Comforter from the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. And the disciples needed to understand that. In no way would it have been different for the disciples prior to Jesus leaving them and after Jesus left them. It was all the same. Jesus was with them on the earth, and Jesus would continue to be with them from His position in heaven through the Spirit, the Comforter, that He would send forth. And not only that, but that's better. It's better that He's in heaven doing this work through His Spirit. Because when Jesus was on this earth, in His human nature, He was limited. He could only care for, by what He said, with those with whom He was with. In His human nature, He was limited for caring for and comforting those that He was actually with. But now it's different. It's different through the Comforter. Because the Comforter is the Spirit of God Himself. God Himself is the Comforter, omnipresent, omniscient, so that having been sent forth from Jesus, He can care for every one of His disciples and every one of His people at that time in which Jesus lived, and for us still today, and for every child of God that has ever been born into this world. From that position in heaven, sending forth the Comforter, Jesus cares for and comforts all of His people. And that's why I say, going back to how we began the sermon, it's wrong. In a very real way, it's wrong to say, I would have rather lived with Jesus by my side. That's a denial of His Spirit, His Comforter that dwells in your heart and in mine, who always cares for us. Now we need to fit this in the context of what Jesus is saying. His disciples needed to hear that because Jesus just told them, you will face opposition and hatred and persecution. And we as the church still face that today. Many physically throughout the whole world face that, but we feel that opposition. We feel it very often. And as time goes on, we will feel it even more. When we continue to hold to the truth in all of its fullness, when we do not in any way round off the sharp edges of the gospel, when we continue to worship God in the way that God has commanded us to worship, having as our focus in worship the preaching of the gospel, when we continue to strive to live a holy life, in no way compromising our godly walk because of the influence of the world, we will feel the opposition and hatred of the world. Just as those disciples felt it vehemently after Jesus left. They were sent into the battlefield, as it were. You look at the Apostle Paul and what he faced. But we can know what we celebrate tonight. Jesus ascended. And as He was going into heaven, He was doing that for you and for me and for every one of His children. So from that position, He could send forth His Comforter that would care for us and be with us all of our life long. A glorious prophet, a wonderful blessing in this beautiful work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is, as Jesus said, the truth. The beginning of verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's striking that he prefaces what he says in the text with those words, I tell you the truth. It's easy for us to sit here tonight and say, of course, that is the truth. We look back, we read the Scriptures. This is the truth. Everything he said took place. He did leave. And he did send forth the Comforter. It's striking, though, that he says this. And you may ask, how did he know? How could Jesus say, this is the truth? Basically saying, with absolute confidence, my disciples, this will take place. He could say that because he was God. In his divine nature, Jesus knew what would take place. Just as earlier in his life, instructing his disciples, as it's recorded in Matthew 24, he said, my disciples, this will take place. These things must come to pass before I return. And then he lays out all of the events that will take place thousands of years later before he returns. In a similar way, he could say to his disciples, this is what's going to happen in the next couple of months. I am going to leave you, and I will send to you the Comforter. So he knew it as the one who was truly God. But he knew this, and he could say this is the truth, even according to his human nature. Because understand that the Lord Jesus Christ knew the moment he said these words, that he would accomplish the purpose God sent him to the earth to accomplish. God came to Jesus and said, this is what you must do. You must be born of a virgin, and you will suffer all of your life long. And you must die on that cross for my people. Jesus was determined from the moment he was born to accomplish that purpose. On the eve of his death, he knew he would go to the cross and he would do the will of God. And in accomplishing that will of God, he would experience the great benefit and fruit of that work, which is exactly what he is talking about in the text. His ascension into heaven, his exaltation, and the pouring out of his Spirit. What he says in the text could not take place the night that he said it. He could not send that comforter the night that he said those words to his disciples. He had to go to the cross. Only in the way of the cross, in the way of defeating all of the enemies of sin and death and Satan and all of his hosts, in accomplishing the victory for his people, only in doing that could he receive the great benefit of that himself. Jesus was exalted as the one who saved his people. Part of that exaltation was being brought into heaven itself, where he sits at God's right hand. He could say, "This is the truth. This will take place," because he knew that he would go to the cross to the salvation of his people, which work would continue from his position in heaven, ruling over all. That word would have been a great comfort to the disciples. So much different from us, because we look back. But if you think about it, those disciples didn't know what would take place. He would die, he would arise, he would appear, and then he would ascend. They could hold on to what Jesus says at the beginning of the text. This is the truth. So that when they saw him leave, they could remember these words and remember, he's leaving for our advantage. It's expedient. It's good. It's profitable that he depart from them. This would have been a great comfort for his disciples. And it still is for us today. Although we know that he is in heaven right now, nevertheless, we read this and are confirmed in our faith. All the more do we believe and confess and are thankful for the fact that our Savior not only died and arose, but ascended into heaven. And as He was ascending into heaven, He was doing that for you and for your salvation, in order that from that position He might care for and comfort you. This is, people of God, the truth, the glorious truth of the ascension of Christ into heaven. As I was thinking about Ascension Day and preparing, I thought to myself that it's probably the case that we don't hold on to this day and value this day in Christ's life like we do the other special days. I may be all wrong, but it seems to me that more attention, more energy, more thought is put into those other events, His birth and His death and resurrection. One of the reasons for that may be simply the fact that the world celebrates those events. There's so much that we hear about, even all around us, and we can get sucked into that. The end result being that this can be pushed to the side. I simply bring that up to say to you tonight, don't let that happen. People of God, Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, and it is a glorious event in His life. Cherish, embrace, believe, bask in the glory of the ascension of Christ. And always remember that when He ascended into heaven, He did that for you and for your salvation. It seems contrary, but basically what Jesus said to the disciples and what He says to us is, I leave you in order that I might be with you And that's exactly what takes place. He left in order that He might be with us all of our days long, through His Comforter, His Spirit that He sends to us, who will always care for us through the difficulties of this life, the oppression that we will face. Christ is with us. The ascended Christ is with us through His Spirit. Thanks be to God for His ascension, His glorious ascension into heaven. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, help us to understand through the word that we heard tonight, the ascension of Christ, and the great profit that that ascension is for us. The fact that only as the ascended Lord could He send forth the Comforter to care for us in our lives here on this earth. Bless, we pray, what was said in this evening, and forgive all sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.